Okay, let's turn in our Bible to Isaiah 65 this morning. Good to see everybody. Isaiah 65. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. Kindly set the stage for our thoughts today. Psalm 65. Psalm 65. Then I want you to flip over to Revelation chapter 21. We're going to be sharing a couple of verses. And Isaiah 65 and 17. For behold, God says, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former, that is this one that we're living in now, shall not be remembered nor come to mind. Boy, that's going to be put out of our minds. We won't be remembering all the troubles and the trials and the hardship that we experienced. Won't that be great? But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people, a joy. Now flip in Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, he's getting rid of this first one where sin and death has been prominent. God says, I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Going to be all together. I'm talking today on, I started to say on Bible time. I'm talking today about God is going to start all over. Have you ever had to start over in your life? Things weren't working out and you had to... You know, there's different ways you can start over. Sometimes I have to start over financially. Sometimes I have to start over with another marriage. Sometimes I have to start over for all kind of different reasons. So we find that God has to start over. And that's what I'm going to be talking about with you today. For 6,000 years, this earth has been under the curse of sin. 6,000 years is a long time when you got to live it out day by day. And a curse was imposed because the first man, Adam, disobeyed God. Because God told him how to live in this world, and Adam disobeyed. Did you know you're living in God's world? You ever think about this? We're living in God's world, and God's got rules for living in His world. Since He owns everything, He has the right to tell us how to live, don't He? So I want us to think about that strongly today. We're living in God's world. We're supposed to live by what He says, and He's got it here in our book, the Word of God. Listen to what the Lord says in Psalms 89:11. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them, the psalmist said. Haggai in 2:8 said, God said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. When God made this world in the land of Havel, it says it's a land of gold when God first made the world. Plenty of gold over there. God says the gold is mine, and the silver is mine. He owns it all, folks. We like to say, I got this much, or I got that. No, we don't have anything. It's all God's. Amen. Do you know that? Amen. It's all God's. The psalmist said in 50, 10, and 11, listen to this. God says, for every beast of the forest is mine. And I just saw one of his little possums dead on the road a while ago. Amen. And the cattle upon a thousand hills is mine, God says. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine, God says. What do you really have that's yours? You don't have anything. God owns everything. Why? Because he made it all. He's the divine owner. Yet because of sin in the hearts of all people, all kind of evil ravages the human family today, all because of what Adam and Eve did in the beginning. To name some of the sins of this world is jealousness, pride, selfishness, hate, greed, drunkenness, stealing, cheating, fornication, adultery, and so forth. Sins in this world because of Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Isn't that amazing? When a man became a sinner, Satan became his ruler. Unless you've been saved, Satan is your ruler today. He's your boss man today, if you're not saved. Satan at Adam's fall became the prince of the power of the air. Satan is now the god of this world. And he's not good. He never does anything good. Oh, he can bless people with good jobs, wealth. The devil has that much power. But in the end, it's bad. It's just a way to deceive people. In Genesis 6, 5 through 7, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Somewhere like 1,500 years went by after Adam. And the Lord said that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. God is grieved over the way man was living. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from off of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping things, and the fowl of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. Genesis 6, 5, and 7. So about 1,500 years after God had made Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, then had to drive them out because of their sin, man became so evil, it got down to just Noah was serving God. And there may have been millions of people on the earth by that time because people were living to be 800 and 900 years of age. And their families, no doubt, was extremely large back then. Satan was attempting to stop the promised Messiah from coming, but he failed. He thought by deceiving people, the children of Adam and Eve, he could stop that promised Messiah of 3:15 from coming. He was trying to cut him off because he knew if he didn't stop him, he was going to be doomed. And you know, for 6,000 years he's been trying to detain the work of God, stop the work of God. Today, all unsaved people are serving Satan's purposes unknowingly. They don't realize they're serving the devil. People think, well, you know, I'm in control of my life, but that's not true. You're either serving the Lord through faith in Christ or you're serving the devil. There's no middle ground. The Bible's very clear on this. God gave the world holy men who were prophets to begin with to instruct people in the beginning. If you go back in the Old Testament, Enoch, the man that walked with God, he was a prophet. Methuselah was a prophet. Then there was Noah. He was preaching 120 years. Nobody wouldn't even listen to it. Must have been me. Think about this, folks. God's always had somebody witness him. But most of the time, people don't listen. God not only gave holy men to be prophets, then God gave his word. And, you know, Moses, the best I understand through studying and research, was the first one to write God's word down that we have in our Bible, as I understand it. Now, there are some people, that scholarly people, that think maybe Adam and Eve and those godly people, maybe they kept records too that Moses was later able to get hold of. We don't know that for a fact, but it could have been. So God gave his word so that men might know of his love and mercy. And in our generations, and for the last 400 or 500 years since the printing press came about in the 1400s, everybody just about can have a Bible, and especially in this country. I know some of the third world countries, they don't all have Bibles like we do, but we've been trying to help get out Bibles over the years. And many missionary groups do that. Brother Jim Minkoff, that's just retired as our missionary, that's what he's did for many, many years, helped get out the scriptures. So finally, God not only had gave us his word, but he sent his son into the world. We just celebrated his birth just yesterday. God's son coming into the world. A son that was perfect. A son that would never sin. A son that would suffer. And he knew before he came like no other person ever suffered. Still the world lays in darkness today, even though we have the word of God going out in ever form you can think about. Still, this world is in spiritual darkness. Even in our country, that's had the Bible more than any other country today, look at the spiritual darkness in this country. People that have the Bible in their houses that never open it. People that can have access to a church never go. They have other interests. Spiritual darkness embraces so many people today. And it's so sad. And I believe it's still true that what God said in the days of before the flood, he was grieved that he had made man. God is grieved today over people that's rejected his son and refusing to repent of their sin. Today, people even argue over whether there is a God or not. Did you know that? Educated people are wanting to know, is there a God? God made this world and he made it perfect and it's beautiful. There's some beautiful places in this old world of sin. But boy, when we see heaven, woo-wee, it's going to be something. Sin has brought decay and death. I just heard about someone killed herself recently. People get so low, so discouraged. Sin has so embraced them, they can't see living another day. And yet, a God that loves them offers to give them life, and life abundantly, church. But people try to find satisfaction in the bottles, the pills, pleasures. Sin has brought decay and death. Spiritually, all of us were born dead to God. That little baby back there, did you know it's dead to God? Spiritually? It's going to have to be saved if it goes to heaven one day, if it lives long enough. We're all coming into this world dead to God. And we have to be taught about God. You've got to be taught about God. Parents, better teach that little youngin' about God and Jesus, or one day he'll burn in hell. That's plain, but it's true. It's true. That's what's wrong with our country, the world today. Parents are not raising their children up for God. God said, raise the children up. Teach them about me. All the way back in Deuteronomy. Parents' responsibility. You think of the parents that's going to be held accountable for not rearing their children for the Lord. Now, it's going to be a sad day. Think about children looking over at their mom and dad in hell. Both of them there together. It was soon after creation that man ruined God's creation with his sin. Now man loves his sin and he wants God to leave him alone. You know, I can remember when I was a young fella. I weren't interested in God. I don't want to get saved. I want to live like I want to live. I've had a few moments like that when I was young. You know, you keep putting that off. I reckon it gets to be a way of life. I don't want God interfering in my life. I got plans. God's got better plans. God's got plans to let you live in paradise. But we're so dumb and blind, we think something else in life is more important. How deceived we can be, church. How deceived we can be. This old flesh nature all of us has got, it's so powerful. And if we don't get under the sound of the gospel, hear truth, we're going to be pitiful. We're going to be pitiful. The Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Got everybody, didn't he? No exceptions. If God didn't seek us, you know, we don't ever seek God. It's God that's seeking us. It's God that's seeking us. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Lord is seeking us. He's calling us through the Holy Scriptures. He's calling us through the Holy Spirit. He's calling us by other Christians that he has found. Amen. God don't want anybody to be lost. There's not a man wicked enough or a woman wicked enough in this world or has ever been but what God don't want them saved. Now that's a lot of grace of God. And we know about a lot of wicked people. In Deuteronomy 4:29, but if from thence thou shouldst seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, the scripture says. if you seek him with all the heart, with all thy soul. You hear about the Lord? If you'll seek to know the Lord, you know there's different levels of knowledge of the Lord. We can be on different spiritual levels. But if you really, 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 really want to know the Lord, if you'll seek, because the Bible says, draw nigh to God, I'll draw nigh to you. God revealed a mystery unknown to those of the Old Testament, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament people didn't know about the church age. That was hid from them. It was a mystery. And the church is going to be a body of people who believe in Jesus, God's Son, and who would die for the sins of the whole world. And believers would experience the grace of God and be made a new person. And this is what's so wonderful about the church age. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and made a new person. We're made a new person. When you are saved, you are born again. You were born the first time in the flesh, but the soul was dead. The spirit was dead, dead to God. But by hearing the gospel and believing the gospel concerning Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, we become born again. We become a new person, given eternal life, and we will never perish. You don't lose eternal life, and you don't revert back to the old flesh. You might revert back by disobeying, but it doesn't change your status of being born again. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 1 and 2, some of my favorites, you hath he quickened. You. Say that with me this morning. You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. See, we were dead to God. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You live like the godless, he said. To the prince of the power, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So all around us, you and I can see people living disobedient to the Lord, can't we? People that don't have time for the Lord. People that's cursing, using profanity. People that's living lives that's down in the gutter because they trying to satisfy the flesh nature that God condemns. God's going to restart and rebuild this old world, folks. He started back over when the flood came and destroyed all mankind, and Noah and his three sons, God began to repopulate our world again with people from the three sons of Noah. And the Bible tells us the day is coming when this old world you and I are living in today, this world we've been exposed to, God's going to get rid of it. He's going to start over again. He's put up with it for about 6,000 years, we understand. But he's got an end in sight. He's got a day set. The Bible says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Don't you know that'd be a frightful thing to see? The heavens on fire and the earth being melted down. It's going to happen one of these days. Oh, it's going to be a while. It's going to be at least 1,007 years before this happens. because there's got to be 7 years of tribulation. Then there's got to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. But then, after the great white throne judgment, the heavens is suddenly going to melt. God's going to purify this world because of sin that polluted God's creation. And God's going to start all over again. And you know, when he starts over again with a new heaven and a new earth, it won't ever be polluted anymore. Won't that be something? There won't ever be any more sin. There won't be no devil to come and tempt people and mess up the human family. While judgment is coming, most people in our country today are going about living as if they're going to live forever. It just seems like people think, well, you know, so-and-so passed away, but, you know, I'm still living and I seem to be invincible, you know. I'm getting older and older and older and older. But there's a day appointed, folks. It's amazing that young people die, isn't it? It's amazing. Some of us in here have lived to be quite a few years. I never dreamed I'd live to be as old as I am. I ain't never been this old before. Amen. But look at the people. Some people take their own life, and yet there's others that get killed in wrecks. Many get shot on the police department, in the service, or down the street where gangs, evil, wicked people lurk at. But God has got a day appointed when you're going to die. And you can't change it. You might wear your seat belts. That won't keep you from getting killed in a wreck if it's your time. Many Bible scholars think God will, through the purifying fire, renovate and make this earth new. That is, this same earth will be renovated and made new. Because one of the reasons for that thinking is God promised the Jews their land forever, so it would seem that would have to be the case. The new earth will never have any sin to curse it. When God makes the new earth, there won't be anybody crying or dying or sighing, because it's going to be a place of peace and joy and life. Life is going to really be abundant, because on this new earth that God makes now, there'll be nations of people there, and they'll be bringing their treasures into the new Jerusalem, where our home is at, the bride of Christ. The new earth will exist forever. It won't ever be burnt up or come out of existence. It'll exist forever with nations of people living in peace. See, we live today always thinking about a foreign nation coming against us, don't we? And today, with all the some of these evil nations, they can they got weapons that can reach our country now, and their armies stay on the other side. Just shoot weapons. They can even explode some up in the air and knock out all of our electric grid, where we don't have any electricity, and it might be a year before you could get it back. Think what would happen to this world if somebody sent and made an explosion over our country and we were out of electricity for a year. Boy, we'd be in a mess here, wouldn't we? And they can do it now. North Korea can do it. China can do it. Russia can do it. Yeah, I need all the help I can get, sister. Amen. The new earth is going to be a paradise like this world has never seen. the new earth. The capital city is going to be New Jerusalem, as Revelation chapter 21 reveals to us. Boy, you read that city, what the precious stones it's made out of. Oh, how beautiful that city is going to be. And it's 1,500 mile high, wide. Wow. You know how big that is? Half the size of the United States, just that one city. I hope the grocery market ain't far away. Amen. John said in Revelation 21 and 1 and 2, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The prettiest day of a young woman's life is the day she gets married. That's what they always say. And that's the way it describes the New Jerusalem. It's just going to be so, so beautiful. And that's going to be our home to live in. And the Lord's going to be with us. Won't that be something, folks? Living with Jesus in eternity, we're going to be a free people. No one will violate our rights. No one will take advantage of us. We will not have the baggage of sin dragging us or pulling us down anymore. We won't worry about sin. Won't that be good? We'll be free like we have never known freedom when we go to be with the Lord. Free. Life is going to be full of life. You're going to be full of life and energy. And to be that way with everybody. There won't be anybody in the hospital all crippled up or sick. Not going to be any hospitals in the New Jerusalem when we go be with the Lord. Not going to be any sicknesses, dementia, things like that. Everybody's going to be full of life and so happy. You're going to be so happy. You're not going to have any worries. You're not going to have anything bothering you that you might have to face in the future. No, it's nothing like that. We're going to be free, full of life. And we're going to be in the presence of love all the time. Love all the time. Won't that be something? No one will quit loving or serving God when we get to heaven. Think about that one. When we get to heaven, church, we won't ever backslide. Amen? We won't ever drift away from the Lord. Amen? We're just going to all be close to the Lord forever. Amen. This time for rebuilding by God gets closer and closer, folks. Every day gets us closer. We're going to see God start all over and get rid of all this sin and rebellion that's currently in place. This old world is so sick with sin, long delayed judgment is demanded, folks. And I personally think two things. What's happened to our country is because of sin as a nation. We're in this mess we're in. No leadership. No leadership. And it's a curse from God. Because we studied the other Wednesday night in Bible study in Daniel that God appoints base leaders. Leaders that's not really leaders. Why does he do that? Because the people at large is not serving him and honoring him. And I'm talking about the church at large. Yeah, this old world is so sick. Long delayed judgment. I think this COVID mess, I don't know where God did it or allowed it. I know one thing, it's here. And he could have stopped it either way. But he's letting it be here. And it don't look like it's going away, does it? He just keeps giving people an opportunity. Wake up, look up. But there are those that refuse to do that. They don't have time for the Lord. They got their plans. Lawlessness, pride, greed, hate, religion, rebellion in this world are crying for divine judgment. And it's a coming. It's a coming. There's 7 years of judgment coming like this world has never known. It's going to be so awful. Going to be so awful. Jesus himself said it'd be the worst time in human history. Over half the world's population will be destroyed. Most of it, or a lot of it, by starvation. That'd be a bad way to die, wouldn't it? Starving. But because of the Antichrist and people won't worship him, they'll be starving to death in masks. I've seen you cry. I've seen you in your grief. I have felt your pain. But God is going to put all of our sorrows and fear and death away forever. And God says, I'm going to wipe away all your tears. I'm going to heal all your pain. You won't ever experience that anymore. While the world is getting darker and darker, for us who know the Lord, the light of glory shines brighter and brighter as the day of redemption draws near. Every day we're closer to going home. Closer to going home. As we see a decaying society with evil being called good and good being called evil, we need to stay true to our God and Savior as we wait for him. Because he said, I'm going away to prepare a place. If I go away and prepare a place, I am coming back to get you. And I expect the Lord's rapture to take place every day. How much wickeder will it be before he comes? I don't know. I don't know what we're going to have to face. But it doesn't look good, does it? It doesn't look good. He will never leave us no matter how dark the world gets, though, folks. He'll never leave us in this life. He's going to be always with us. So let us wrap our arms of faith around him and his promises. Let's cling to him. Let's be faithful to him. Let's keep looking for him. We can even pray like John the Apostle. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know what? If you do that, you'll get a special crown, the Bible says, if you're looking for the Lord to come. Amen. John the Apostle writes in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You've been saved, we should keep following the Lord. And I give unto them eternal life. We're given eternal life. We don't earn it, don't deserve it. But it's given to us by that believe on him. They shall never perish. Does it excite you to know that you've been saved and you won't ever perish? Does that excite you? Amen. Just think about that. You've been saved. Now you're safe. You're safe. You won't perish. Oh, we may all leave this world through the door of death, but we're not perishing. The old body goes to the ground from where it came, but our soul and spirit, when death strikes this body, exits and goes right straight to the Father's house. Isn't that something? We're not going to perish. We are not going to perish. Jesus said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We're in the hand of Jesus. But I want to show you something else. You want to make that double? My Father which gave me thee is greater than them all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So we're in the hand of Jesus, and we're in the hand of God the Father. Amen? Double security. Amen? Think about, we're being held by the Lord. I can remember when I was little and my daddy holding me. I can remember that. I'd be asleep. We'd be at church at night, and we'd go home, and I remember daddy picking me up in his arms. Think about this. We're in the hands of Jesus, even now. We're in the hands of the Lord, even now. We belong to Him. So for 6,000 years, man has been rebelling and refused to listen to his Creator. But now we're quickly coming to the last days. God has chosen His people out of this world, those that's going to be His, those that make up the church, those that will be the bride of Christ. These days are getting short now, very short, I believe. And with the rapture of the church intimate, it could happen at any second, followed by 7 years of tribulation and the revealing of the Antichrist, the most wicked man to ever live in the world. That's who he'll be. He'll be a ruthless leader who will deceive the world into following him. And finally, he'll decide to declare he's God and demand that everybody worship him. And if you don't worship him by taking his mark in your hand or forehead, then you can't buy, sell, or go to the doctor. And many people will take his mark. If they take his mark, they can never get saved. Those that don't take his mark can't buy, can't get groceries, can't go to the doctor, can't have a job. It's going to be awful. But when they die, they'll be saved. And that's why we keep warning people. You don't want to be left behind when the rapture takes place to face what you got to face. Oh, it's going to be horrible beyond words. While all of us are sinners, we can all begin over and have a new life in Christ. See, when you were once a sinner lost, but when you trust Christ, you start all over. You're a new person. You're a new person in the Lord. Every day we have another chance to do better than we did yesterday. Do you want to be better? Is that your goal? Are you working towards that goal? Being a better Christian? Being a better witness? That's something we all have to decide. We should be praying more, reading the Bible more, denying self more, and loving the Lord more. Remember the scripture the apostle wrote, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Well, we can do these things. We can pray, read the Bible, deny self, and love the Lord. It's our decision. And Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13 states. And God offers everyone the opportunity to start all over if they'll repent of their sin and trust Jesus as their Savior. And we as Christians can start over by being more committed to the Lord. Draw nigh to the Lord and I'll draw nigh, the Lord said. We can have a blessed life if we'll just love the Lord. That don't mean we're not going to have troubles and trials and problems. That's the nature of living in a sin-cursed world. That's the nature of having a body with a fallen nature. We're going to have problems. Jesus said that. We're going to have tribulation in this world. But the Lord is with us. And with our troubles and trials, it should cause us to draw nigh to God. As we face a new year, let us vow to share our Savior with all we can. Let's stay focused on the Lord no matter what's going on around us. Satan's going to be very busy, folks. Satan's going to be very busy in these coming days. In conclusion, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We'll have problems here. We'll be struggling here. Life's going to be hard here. No denying that. But Paul said, what we have to face in this world will seem like nothing when we get to heaven. Won't that be great? What was so hard here? What was so difficult here? What was so painful here? Won't seem like nothing when we get to heaven. I suspect that even Jesus himself, after suffering the cross like he did, now that he's in heaven glorified, seated at the right hand of the Father, I reckon all that suffering he went through seems like nothing because he's got him a bride to spend eternity with. So, today is Sunday, the Lord's Day. But let us be excited about going out and just like children waking up on yesterday morning, they're so excited. Let us be excited to go out and serve the Lord. Serve him with anxiousness. Serve him with excitement. Serve him with joy. Because he's got something waiting for you that's out of this world. Amen. And when you get there and surround his throne, with all the saints, what you had to face in this life that he appointed for you and me to face, it'll seem like nothing. It's going to make heaven sweeter. Amen. And loving God, thank you for this time, this opportunity, and for this congregation of people. Lord, you know all of our, each one of us have our own burdens, our trials. I pray for each and every one. Remember Miss Vashti's situation, Lord. I pray you just bless them and have mercy on them, Lord. And others, Lord, in our bulletin on the sick list. So many people, Lord. We just want to remember them all, Lord, and ask for the mercy of God. And I pray that all of these people and their afflictions will look up to you and learn to wait on the Lord and trust in the Lord and to hope in the Lord, because the Lord cares for every person everywhere. And we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This time, we invite you to the altar. If you don't know the Lord, come today and trust the Lord. But come pray for somebody that needs to know the Lord. We have a...
Betty and I had fallen, and she couldn't get up, so that's why Sir Emily.
Okay.
We need to pray for her.
Okay, remember Miss Vashti, we just been told?